Okay, we're back. You're listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. This morning we're going to look back at some of the events that have occurred in the floor covering business over the last couple of weeks. We have on the line Kemp Haar. He's the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. Morning, Kemp. How you doing?
Great, Dave. It's good to talk to you.
And we missed you last week, so we got 2 weeks worth of stuff to talk about here.
Yeah,
this
we got
morning.
A lot to talk about. I think everybody needs to know, though, the reason we missed out last week is because you had to go to a funeral. Your mother died last week.
I did. My mother passed away up in Philadelphia. She was 98 years old and had one heck of a life, a really nice lady, and I know all of my family's going to miss her.
Lived a full life. I guess I did the math, figured out she was about 33 when you were born.
Something like that. And so, anyway, we've got a lot of stuff backed up here that we can talk about. And but first on my list here, Kemp, is where you were last week, and you were in Phoenix attending the Mohawk Floorscapes Convention. How was the turnout?
It was a good turnout, actually. I was pleasantly surprised. Let me say that again. And I mean, when you think about Floorscapes and what it is, it's Mohawk's. You know, it's the elite aligned group. It's their top end of the retailers, residential retailers that are out there selling all types of flooring that have committed, not only a majority of their floor space to Mohawk, but they. One of the neat things about the Floorscapes program is when you go into a Floorscapes store anywhere in the country, they have a layout that is you're supposed to follow, and it's so when you go in one. You can find your way around in almost every one of them because they're very similar.
Continuity, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it is a good idea. And when you think about it, here's the, possibly the number one brand name, from a manufacturing standpoint, a $9 billion a year company. And, when these dealers sign up to be Floorscapes, they get to put the big Mohawk brand name out in their store. And I think that's a recipe for traffic. So there's a lot of details I'd like to get into about what I learned at the meeting.
Sure. Let me ask you one more question about the Floorscapes group. Are these, for the most part, larger retailers?
Well, I think they're, and this is not an official number or anything, but I think they usually do somewhere between $3 and $5 million a year in sales. And just to give you their numbers, there's I believe there's about 500 storefronts and about 250 members. So you have some members that have one store, and then you have some that have more than one store. And,
I see.
So that's kind of how that shakes out. And the size of the stores range. You know, you've got some smaller stores. I don't know the exact square footage, but I know there's one or two of them that are up in the 50 or 60,000 square foot range. But I think the majority of them, though, are more in the 3,000 and 4,000 square foot.
I see, and this is a higher end concept, Floorscapes. Is that correct?
Well, no, they have products for all price points. It's independent flooring retailers who have, if you're an independent flooring retailer, you have many options. You can either line up with some of these buying groups, or you can line up with some of these major manufacturers. And here's a group of 250 organizations that have decided to line up with Mohawk. And as we talk, here in the next few minutes, maybe you get a little flavor for what you get as part of being a member.
Sure. Now, let me ask you about the venue also. You were in Phoenix. What was the venue like?
It was nice. You can imagine. I mean, even though the residential business is off right now, they knew they were entertaining their best customers, and so or their best residential customers. So they had it at the JW Marriott Desert Resort. Outside of Phoenix, about 20 miles outside of Phoenix, and it was really nice. And the unfortunate thing, and last year they were in Dallas. I went to that one, and it snowed, which it rarely snows in Dallas. And this year, I think Phoenix gets 5 inches of rain a year, and it rained 2 inches while we were there.
You should have brought some back here with you.
Well, I don't know. So, I think some of that bad weather they got in the Midwest this weekend had come through Phoenix. But anyway, some of the events they had planned to have outdoors, they had to have indoors. But it still was, you know, first-class event. And you know, one of the things I want to talk about.
Let's do this. Before you get into that, let's take a break here.
Okay.
And we'll come back and let you bring up whatever it was you were going to bring up here. We need to take a short break. We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar. He's the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We have Kemp Haar on the line with us this morning, the president of Floor Focus magazine. We're looking back at the week in the floor covering industry. We were talking about the Mohawk Floorscapes Convention held last week in Phoenix. Kemp was in attendance, and I rudely interrupted you just when you were about to bring up another topic. Let me ask you to...
Well, I was going to talk about, you know, when it kicked this thing off, you know, the first full day of the event, they had Jeff Lorberbaum, who came out and did a very nice job of talking to the members, everybody in attendance. And, you know, I thought I was going to just hit a couple of high points of his remarks. One was certainly, and I think, you know, the theme of the whole meeting was, we understand that if you guys are successful, we're going to be successful, and we can't be successful unless you are. And you know, but he also talked you know, about some of the economic situations that we're in and some of the realities of, you know, the fact that we all need to adjust. Certainly Mohawk has had to adjust, and he says, you know, he's saying to your dealers, we're here to help you make the right adjustments to make it through until, you know, recovery. And, you know, he said, you know, Mohawk has reduced headcounts, reduced SKUs, realigned their sales force, exited their small textile business. But at the same time, in the last, you know, few years, they've spent over $200 million in business. You know, they bought Dale Tile,
yeah,
Quickstep, Columbia Flooring most recently, and now, you know, they held that first or second market position in let's see, all flooring categories except resilience. So, you know, he mentioned that, and he pointed out a few of the key retailers that had some pretty neat programs and talked about that. He talked about their environmental program and, you know, the whole Sirona. And now with the corn ingredient, the Bio-Sirona. He also talked of, you know, there are segments of the business that are still doing well. The high-end customers still got money still looking for product. And he talked about what he thought his outlook for 08. He thinks that the remodel market is going to start to ignite here early on in 08. He says he thinks the commercial business might slow down just a little bit in the second half of 08, and it might be another 6 months before there's any chance of recovery. Those are just a couple of points. Then he ended up just saying, you know, ride the course, make the adjustments you need, you know, ride this out to the other end, and it's going to be, you know, this kind of partnership. There will be plenty for everyone to enjoy on the other side of it.
Well, Mohawk has certainly done a good job through this whole downward movement in the economy, and I think they probably saw it coming before a lot of others did, and I think adjusted accordingly, which is, you know, I think is a mark on their side.
A
very good one. Were there special guests at this outing?
Yeah, you know, there were a couple. One of them was that Dr. Ken Blanchard. He's the author of The 1 Minute Manager. And everybody there had to enjoy his remarks because, I mean, a guy like that makes it sound so simple. You know, what does it take to be successful in business? You know, he talks about, oh, by the way, when he started out, he was one of those guys that had one of those mansions in San Diego that got burned up in a fire.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's had some, certainly some time to reflect on what's going on in his life. But anyway, he was, you know, he gave a talk to the organization. He talked about everybody that is, you know, the American dream is to own your own business. Everybody in the audience is an entrepreneur. To be a successful entrepreneur, you need to have three or four values, you know, about his the ones that he liked was, you know, ethical, relationships, success, learning. He also said something, and I won't go through the whole thing, but he said, you know, we're not really in the flooring business. If you really think about it, we're in the quality of life business. Because when people buy new flooring, you know, they're raising their whole quality of life at home. So he said that, you know, if you really want to get, you know, behind what you do for a living, that's really what you do. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting perspective.
That's very true. That's very true. Let's take a break here. I want to ask you some more questions about the Floorscapes Convention.
Yeah, let me tell you a little bit about the products, because they did roll out what they're going to be selling next year, and I'm getting a little bit into that.
I will ask you about products when we come back.
Okay.
Kent Parr is with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be back and talk about products from the Mohawk Floorscapes Convention. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're talking this morning with Kent Parr, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're looking back at the week in the floor covering business, and we've been talking about Mohawk's Floorscapes Convention. This was held a couple of weeks ago.
Actually, it was just last week.
I got 2 weeks on my mind here for some reason or another. I guess everything I'm going to refer to is 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was held last week in Phoenix. Kent was in attendance, and we've been talking about some of the programs and some of the speakers, and I wanted to ask you about the products. What were the what was the big story in terms of products?
Well, I guess there were several. There were two that were very interesting. One was, you know, there's a brand manager, Lindsay Ann Waltrip. She goes by a double first name, Lindsay Ann, and she took us through what's going on in their wood products, because she's the brand manager for the Mohawk wood products, and they're adding 70 new SKUs. So, you know, we've all been wondering, okay, so Mohawk bought Columbia Wood Products. What are they doing with it? And boy, I can tell you, you know, they're doing a lot. Their focus is on filling in some of their voids in the exotics. They're offering a lot of their wood products with a click system, which I thought was pretty interesting. I'm talking about, you know, engineered, you know, wood products with a click system, and they're using their Uniclick system.
Okay.
Now
that's not all that common in the wood arena, is it?
No, that's right, exactly. And so, you know, they've got some new displays. I don't want to go into all the details, but very nice looking products. And you know, with 70 new SKUs, that's a lot of product. And so they, you know, they got engineered the range from 3/8 inch to 1/2 inch. They've got all kinds of new solid products, and a lot of this engineered pre-finished is being made in that Danville facility that they got out of the Columbia Wood Products acquisition.
I see. It's interesting, the click joints in the hardwood arena, because it certainly makes sense. I mean, the same reasons why it's a good idea in the laminate arena make it a good idea in the wood arena.
All right, let me tell you this. I thought this was very interesting. You know, you have the option of nailing down or gluing down your floor, or you have the option of floating it, mm-hmm. and, you know, with this click system. And one of the things you get as a side benefit of having a floating floor is there's a little bit more give. So, you know, if you've got, you know, somebody that's got a back problem or something like that, there's more give in a floating floor system. And so it's easier, you know, in like an area where you stand a lot.
And I imagine you save money. It's faster to install.
Oh, definitely you save money on installation.
Yeah.
So another thing I want to talk about is in the carpet area, they have they've actually combined a couple of their brands, and they've got a new collection called their Family Living Carpet Collection, and it's taken the best of the high end. They've combined their custom weave at Wanda Weave products, and they've actually eliminated the custom weave at Floorscapes. There's not ever going to be another custom weave brand at the Floorscapes. They just eliminated it. And so they've got this new collection, and it's the best of the high-end. It's a very nice-looking display system. It's got all of their yarn systems. It's got, you know, it's got yarns that they get from Solutia and then Vista, so the Stainmaster and Weardata are there, and they also have their own, you know, Everstrand and SmartStrand, mm-hmm. SmartStrand being the Sirona product. And the price point, retail, suggested retail range on this product is from $22 to $49 a square yard, so it's on the upper end. It's a good-looking product.
Very interesting.
Well, they're rolling that out. Another thing I want to make sure before we run out of time, I want to talk about, one of the big things they were talking about is this benchmarking thing they're doing. What they're doing is they're getting all of their members to fill out this big workbook, and it's you know, you fill it out and then enter it into a website, and they're able to give you a report that tells you how you compare to the other Floorscapes members and things like what you pay your people, what your costs are, you know, that's and everybody there was excited about it because it's an opportunity for you to compare against your peers nationwide and see how you're doing from an operational and accounting standpoint.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's just one of the programs. They've always been big on training, and this is just, you know, another benefit of being part of the Floorscapes Association.
I've got you. So overall, it was a pretty good outing. You seemed to be very pleased and pretty pumped about what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, the tone was upbeat and a lot of participation. And, you know, they have an advisory board that was engaged the whole time we were there trying to make sure that everybody knew that, you know, that everybody's there to help them. And so it was a good meeting.
Very good, very good. Let's take a break here. I'm going to go back and change the subject. We're talking this morning with Kemp Parr. He's the publisher of Floor Focus Magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar is on the line with us this morning, the publisher of Floor Focus Magazine. We're looking back at the week in the floor covering business, talking about some of the events. And an event that I guess was a little bit surprising to me anyway, Edge Flooring, an outfit based in Dalton, filed Chapter 7, the second Chapter 7 in this business in over the last couple of months. Now, they produce a sort of a floating ceramic tile floor. It's mounted on a board with a click joint. And I guess almost everybody around here was pretty surprised.
Yeah, I certainly was surprised. And, it's bad news. You know, here's a company that I guess started back in 2002, 2003. They had an ingenious little system where, you know, they took, truly ceramic tile and laminated it onto a some kind of a backer board that had a click system in it, and it was an opportunity or a way of installing ceramic tile in your home, without going to the trouble of all the thin set and all the grouting and things that you have to do to put in tile, and they rolled out in 2002 or three and almost immediately picked up the Lowe's account. Lowe's put it in all their stores, and a lot of excitement, a lot of volume. Looked like they were going to be extremely successful. They had that beautiful headquarters down there on Connector 3 south of Dalton. And then I guess there were some issues in their first design, and there were some complaints, or I'm not sure exactly what all the details were, and so Lowe's decided not to carry it anymore. So they restructured their management, and the guy, I guess at one time it was run by Bob Miller.
Right.
And then they restructured, and Bob wasn't there anymore, and I guess Bill Crowley became president.
Exactly,
and,
right.
Neat guy, Eric Christensen, became their head of marketing and sales. And so they restructured, got some new financing, and they fixed the issues with the product, and they selected a different channel to market and went out through distribution. And, you know, when this news came out, I called a couple of our key advisors that are distributors, and they said, there's nothing wrong with the product. They fixed the product. And so what we're finding out was is that their funding the second time around came from Hunt Brothers. What's the name of them?
The name of the for the private equity firm is Hunt Special Situations Group, and that's owned by Hunt Consolidated, which of course is the is a holding company owned by the oil and real estate people, I guess, headed by Ray Hunt and his brother, who I guess are the son of the big cheese, H.L. Hunt, who I guess was, a wildcatter oil man way back when in Texas.
So I guess the long and the short of it is that they're making enough money in the oil business that, you know, the type of money they're looking for wasn't coming from this company, not to say that this company wasn't doing okay, and they just decided to pull the cord on them, and they're, you know, Chapter 7, they're liquidated, and... So it is a sad story for, you know, I guess there's 50 or 60 people. And, you know, I look back in our annual report for our 06, we had them at 06 at about $30 million in revenue. So,
well, and it's true. It's just at a point when it seems like the product was perfected.
That's right.
After all this time, after what, since I guess it cranked up in 2002.
Yeah.
So, again, I know we had the same conversation when Hoboken filed Chapter 7. That's a pretty unusual way to get out of business.
It is. It really is.
So I'm not sure. I've not heard anything around as to what's going to happen with it, but it is a shame after all this time having, you know, working on this and having it perfected. And as far as I can say, they just announced not too long ago a number of new distributors, as you had mentioned, and
that's right.
Get them in line, and I guess they have to be they had to be caught by surprise too, I suspect.
Well, and everybody out there that's involved with them is you know, has paid for racks and has paid for transportation of product, and you know, I mean, just everybody in the whole channel now is probably stuck with you know, merchandising systems and samples and things that they can't do anything with.
Well, it's very interesting. We need to get the Hunt Brothers on here.
Yeah, you have their number. Let's give them a call.
Yeah, let's give them a call.
Yeah.
Let's take a break on that note before we call up the Hunt Brothers.
Okay.
We're talking with Kemp Haar. He's the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine, looking back at the events in this business over the last 7 days. One event that I thought was really interesting, and I can't say that I know a whole lot about this, but it really sounds intriguing. It comes from Valenge, the innovation click joint people, and they have announced what they're calling a new flooring product. It's called WF Floor, which stands for wood fiber floor, and they say it's the newest and hottest thing out there, and they say it's stronger than any laminate flooring on the market. They say it resists wear up to 10 times greater, or it has wear resistance 10 times greater than any other laminate. So I guess this is a laminate product of sorts.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing that because, just reading this description, you know, I couldn't tell if this was another one of those products that had a photograph, you know, on the top of it, like a lot of laminates do, or whether we're actually, when we look at it, we're going to be looking at wood fiber.
I have no clue.
Yeah.
I suspect it's probably a laminate-type product, I would say.
Yeah.
But I don't know, and we'll have to see this now.
Yeah.
And so I suspect that we're going to be seeing some of this stuff at Surfaces and probably at Domatex. At least we're well in the Valenge stand.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but about two or three months ago, we were talking about Valenge and the fact that they had, you know, they were forming this R&D. I guess this is what they were up to.
Right. This was the first, and evidently they're going to be perfecting this at this new operation in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And now what they're saying is that they reduced the 10 steps in producing laminate down to 3. No pregnation of papers and lamination is required. So I don't know what that means. And I guess it would be a laminate if you put a piece of paper on the top.
Well, that's why I was wondering if we're not really going to be looking at wood fiber. So
it well could be. And they say that this also can be completely recycled and converted back into new flooring panels.
Hmm.
And that's pretty interesting. So I guess I will be looking for this product soon. And I suspect that the licensees obviously are going to be the first ones to have at this. And
right.
I suspect we're going to see this. They say they expect this will be available commercially in 2009. So I don't know. I'm going to be anxiously waiting. I suspect you are too. And I suspect that we'll see some of this at the Valenge stand at Surfaces in January.
Well, I don't know. Since it's not going to be available until 2009... maybe they'll have a couple R&D pieces there.
Oh well, their stand at Surfaces was sort of an R&D operation in and of itself,
mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I know I'll be looking forward to seeing this, and up until then, I don't have a clue as to what exactly it is. So we'll have to wait and watch on that one.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's take a break here a little bit early before we launch into another topic. Kemp Haar is with us this morning. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's a partner in the website floordaily.net, and we're going to be right back. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're looking back at the week in the floor covering business with Kemp Haar. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. And some of the items here I thought was most interesting. We've been talking about the bankruptcy of Solutia for several years now, and it looks like their plan of reorganization has been confirmed by the court, and it looks like they're going to be emerging from bankruptcy either later this month or early next.
I think it's going to be early. Actually, I met with them yesterday, and some of the guys, at the nylon carpet fiber division there in North Atlanta, Kennesaw, and he said he thought it was going to be probably in January before it was all said and done. And the interesting thing to hear next is what are they going to do? Whether what will they go public or will they be private equity or exactly what their structure will be when this is all said and done? And so it'll be interesting to see and watch what happens.
Well, it's been an interesting thing to watch here because it's a lot stronger company. It's been well managed, and I think they're really ready to do some good things now that they will be out of this bankruptcy situation shortly.
It should free them up to be to go and do what they need to do in the marketplace. And I know that in our piece of their business. Their performance is good. It's a profitable business, so it'd be interesting to see whether they go public or what happens to their future financing.
And Kemp, we need to take a break. We're talking this morning with Kemp Haar. He's the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. We're going to be right back after these messages. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Kemp Haar is with us this morning, the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. Another piece of news, which I don't remember exactly what the date was. I think this was last week. Alloc and Berry are going to combine their sales operations. I guess they're both in the same facility up in Racine, Wisconsin, as we speak. So they're going to be merging, and we'll have what they're calling a unique dual brand two-channel selling strategy.
Yeah, let me talk about that just a second. That's BoU International. Both those companies have been BoU International, and the marketing for the residential product Berry has been driven out of Belgium in the past. That's where we did some advertising for them last year, and the agency we're working with was out of Belgium. And so I think it makes sense now. They've got both these brands are going to be the decisions are going to be made in this country. Still a property owned by Beaulieu International, not to be confused or mistaken with the Beaulieu Carpet USA company. But this is Beaulieu International, and so the Alloc brand will be their commercial product, and the Berry brand will be the residential product. Decisions will be made in this country, and they plan to use the synergies, having dual brands and one manufacturing facility as they move forward.
Well, it certainly makes sense, and I guess the whole idea of creating Beaulieu International joining, I think it was five of the Beaulieu related companies. This is a next logical step here for the U.S. for this operation.
Right.
Only makes sense. One more thing before we run out of time. We've got a couple of minutes left, and every month BITMA, the Business and Institutional Furniture Manufacturing Association, releases their orders for the month, and for the month of October, they were up by 6% after a flat performance in the month of September. And I see that as sort of a gauge for the commercial side of the flooring business.
There's actually two ways you could look at that. One is what you just said. The other is, hey, we're approaching, it's December. Businesses that have made money might want to reduce their tax burden by going ahead and buying a few things, and expensing them in this year. So I'm not sure what we're looking at there, whether we're seeing, continued strong commercial marketplace or whether we're just seeing some year-end buying around, to offset a tax burden with some of these companies.
Yeah, difficult to say, but I think a lot of people that I've asked seem to think that we may see a slowing on the commercial side over 2008.
Well, I hope they're wrong, but we'll have to see.
Well, just who knows? But one more thing. We've only got a couple of minutes left, but let me mention this before we have to sign off and they throw me out of the radio station here. Bentley Prince Street, of course, is in the rug business. They're going to be offering their rugs online, which I think is a unique twist and an interesting idea. What do you think?
Well, actually, you say they're in the rug business. They're actually in the broadloom and modular carpet tile right. business on the commercial side. And so, there's two unique things about this. This is a residential or a consumer-based product, and they're selling it direct online. And it is a rug. So I guess, what they're doing is they're taking some of their broadloom products and putting them in rugs and then offering them online direct to consumers. So it's a very interesting, I guess you'd say, shift in channel strategy because, up to this point, they, with the exception of what they sell through their arrangement with Jack Michigan.
Kemp, it sounds like what Bentley Prince Street is doing is sort of taking a page out of the Interface Floor book where they sold their modular, also in the form of rugs, direct to the consumer, which
that's
I think
right.
was a.
And I'm not sure if these products are, what format they're going to be sold in, but it sounds like a more traditional area rug, but it could be that they're more modular in shape. We'll have to look more into this.
Well, rugs are hot, and with the advent of hard surface, they're hot, and some of these commercial products, I think, are very attractive and would make very good rugs. So it seems like an interesting move. We'll have to keep our eyes on it.
Oh, I think it makes sense. Anthony and that group out there are always making some interesting decisions. I think this is another, at least test to see if there's a marketplace for this.
And the products are great, and I can't imagine that the consumers won't be enamored with them.
Yeah, good move.
On that note, we're out of time, and I'm going to give you a call 1 week from today, and we'll do this all over again.
Sounds good, Dave.
Very good, Kemp. You have a good rest of the week. And we've been talking with Kemp Haar. He is the publisher of Floor Focus magazine. He's also a partner in the website floordaily.net. This is Floor Radio.